Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Yeah, so I was watching the grand jury decision. I was watching with my dad, and kind of seeing if my mom was going to watch it with me. I've been on the show a couple, this is Chantal, I've been on the show a couple of times. I have a father who's non-white and my mom is white. And wanted to see if she was actually gonna sit there and watch it. She didn't even come downstairs. And she came downstairs, I guess, towards when everybody, the news was talking about the riots that were going on. And as Obama was talking, you saw the riots going on, and he was talking, he mentioned race relations. And he said that, I think he said we're making some progress or something. I'm like, what's he talking about? No, we're not. What's he talking about? Race relations. I was like, oh my God. So then, you know, my mom's sitting there, and she's just like, no care in the world. Like, who cares? And then I'm on Facebook, and this white male who I actually went to high school with said this statement. He said this: Mike Brown, I hope you're happy. You destroyed a city that you once stole from and ruined a police officer's life. You turned this issue from a cop and criminal case to a white versus black case. I hope you're happy. So I don't really have much to say. It's just, I was just sickening, because I'm just sitting there and my mom is just smiling up the store for no what's so apparent reasons. And I don't know, it was weird. She was like distracting my dad, because he's like watching the TV and she's just like in his way. And he's like trying to watch the news for whatever reasons. And she was like talking about other things, and it's like, I'm trying to watch the news. Like, she's like distracting him, obviously. Just really, yeah. As my dad's watching TV, I'll be very honest with you, my mom was trying to make out with my dad, and I'm sitting right there. And he's like, what the heck is she doing? Yeah. So I'm like, looking at her, like, what is she doing? Like, that was weird.
Race soldier in action.
I love you, biracial girl.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Wednesday, December 28th, 2016. So I have been told. Before we get started, I've had many people, 8-year anniversary, just a few weeks away. Many people over the years have emailed or even asked on the program, what does the cowbell mean? And it has sparked some interesting discussions, some incredible emails, and the whole nine. I never really worry about it too much, because the position I take is that if you continue to listen to the cows, you will hear the cowbell enough And I have enough respect for the mental abilities of the brain computers of black people that you will be able to figure it out. So this should give you some more clues if folks are still trying to solve that mystery. One other unrelated topic. If you heard the program yesterday and you heard the audio segment at the beginning of the program there, there was a little bit of distortion towards the end in Chantel's line, and I can identify that specifically because if you go back and listen to that archive from November of 2014, it was her line specifically where I think, I don't know if it was just she had a bad connection or something, but the rest of the audio is fine, and I said something specifically because I could see that the distortion was on her line exclusively. The rest of the audio was fine. Yesterday we had a extremely bizarre incident where we had significant distortion during the live broadcast with Dr. Glenda Gilmore. She said she was raised as a white supremacist, so you can drop the suspect. But this white woman, she was on the program. She practiced racism in a variety of ways in her book, and while she was here on the program, she also shared some constructive information about a few things here and there. But there was just tremendous distortion throughout the broadcast. And I could hear it. I remarked about it. I think retired firefighter was the first person who brought it up. Other listeners commented and said that they could hear it. People wrote online and said that they could hear it. If you listen to the audio recording, that distortion is not there, which, and I mean, when I say like bizarre, like I'm not sure if somebody said, I will pay you if you can create a broadcast where you have distortion that is in the broadcast and people can hear it live, but the recording, the distortion will not be there. Like, if you know how to pull that off, let me know, because it started to hurt my head just trying to think about how that would be possible to happen. But happen it did, and you don't have to, if you were here for the live program, you can just listen, you can pick any random spot and you will not hear that distortion in the recording. And so the people that didn't hear it live, that just listened to the podcast, I'm sure will be even more perplexed. What distortion are they speaking of? How interesting. That is the system of white supremacy, usual suspects. All that aside, the program for today should be hopefully very constructive, and particularly in relation to what we heard yesterday directly from the mouth of a white supremacist woman and her emphasizing the role of white women in the system of white supremacy. I contend that their role is regularly diminished, understated, ignored, and it is to our detriment. I submit, I've written articles specifically about white women. One of the more popular pieces I wrote last year was directly about the danger that white women represent. The idea for the program today came from, you heard Chantel in that audio clip. She's been calling in for a number of years now. That was live the night that they announced in November 2014 that there would, of course, be no indictment for the killer of Michael Brown Jr. So we were on the air and we had white filmmakers in Oregon talking about the history of white supremacy in Oregon, and that program was scheduled like weeks in advance, and it just happened that that was the day that they, or the evening that they announced the verdict. So we were on live with them when the verdict was announced, so we stayed on afterwards to, you know, just exchange views about the verdict. And I thought that was one of the more profound things that was shared during that exchange. Her white mother, who she had talked about before on the program, she's non-white, white mother, black father, but her white mother coming in to distract her black father in the middle of everything that was happening, all of the chaos that was happening in Ferguson, and they had protests and things in other cities, but to starting with her just kind of casual disinterest in all of this to begin with, and then aggressive sexual activity with her father while he's trying to focus on the number one priority in the known universe, replacing white supremacy with justice and this problem. Hey, let's slip back to number two. The bedroom's available, and even doing this while one of their biracial daughters, quote unquote, is sitting right there. Fascinating moment. We talked about that, and I think we even shared that moment with Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, and she gave her insight. If I'd had more time to dig through all 31 episodes, I could have pinpointed exactly where Dr. Welsing shared her analysis of that. Chantel can fact-check me if that did happen, if she remembers it. But the program this evening, Chantel, longtime listener, there's another Cows listener. I think she is a more recent listener, also non-white female. She has a white mother, non-white father, black father. And I spoke with, she called in for workplace racism, something totally unrelated to her having a white parent, but she called into workplace racism. And specifically, she emailed me and she asked if it was okay to share on workplace racism because she had a white parent, which I thought was striking because I didn't know if we had given the impression that non-white people with a white parent are not welcome. I think I did ask her that, and she said no, but she just was sharing, I guess, transparency. And she shared just a few details about growing up and having a white mother, and it sounded identical to what I heard with Chantel. And I said, this is, when we talk about patterns of racism, white supremacy, like these are two different non-white females who are in two different states. They do not know each other. They are not the same age, just non-white females, both have a white mother, a black father. It is amazing the symmetry in their lives. I introduced them and just said, wow, this is like, I think the term I use, this is like your cosmic sister. You should probably talk to this person. It'll be amazing how similar your experiences are. And I think they concurred. And I think for the program this evening, just to try to maximize constructive value in what I hope people will get, the role of white women in the system of racism, white supremacy, just kind of looking at how their white moms shape their lives and their thinking about white people, racism, and just, again, the symmetry that this is not an accident, this is not a fluke, this is about what you can expect, this is, I contend, this is race soldier in action. Exactly as I said in the audio clip, this is race soldier in action. These are specific things that you know they are going to do as a part of their white supremacist objective. We will add here, let's see, we have Akana, that is one, and Chantel. Akana, are you with us? Let's see, not hearing you. Are you with us, Akana? Can you hear? Try again. Maybe I didn't hit the line.
Hi, Gus.
Greetings, Akana. Hello? Yes, Chantel, good to hear from both of you. So glad to have both of you on the program. Anything you all want to say before we get started, just anything you think would be good for listeners to know, or if I made any errors in the introduction, we'll go, I guess, Chantel first. Anything you would like to share with listeners or any corrections? Oh, man, I muted myself. I will say that again. Thank you all both for being on the program. Glad to have both of you here. And we'll start with Chantel. Excuse me. We'll start with Akana. Anything you would like to share with listeners about who you are or any corrections before we get started?
Sure. It might be relevant to know that I am a wife of a young black son and a mother to a black man. And I also wanted to briefly explain why I kind of asked for permission when I first called in to workplace racism. I've noticed that because my experience varies differently from the normal black experience, the biracial experience is different. So I try to be cautious when I enter black spaces. I don't want the individuals that have created the space, I don't want them to feel like I'm intruding. And that's all.
Great context. Appreciate that. Chantel, she's been with us before. Do you remember that? You can fact check me. Did we ask or did you ask Dr. Welsing about your mom's activity during everything that happened when they announced there was not going to be an indictment in Ferguson?
Yes, that is true.
I thought that's when you all can go look for a scavenger hunt. She did respond to that live on the air. So it would have had to been Dr. Welsing a visit after November of 2014, if you want to check for that. Do you remember what she said?
I can't recall, but I will mention when I had discussed that incident, I believe Pam was on the line as well.
Yep, that's true.
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm.
I think she gave live commentary as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is a long episode, but you know, if you do a road trip or you have lots of time to hang out one day, it's like 5.5 hours. But the reason is we had that it was not planned for the verdict. It just happened that came out that day. So we were already talking about racism, white supremacy in Oregon and this documentary film, which was interesting. And it was white people on the program. And then this happened. So that prompted further discussion. But that is all there. There were a lot of people who shared their views, if you want to go back and review anything. I feel like you've been here a lot over the years, so I feel like a lot of people, if you've listened to the Cavs over the last 2 years or so, you've probably heard Chantel a time or two even more recently. She chimed in and talked about workplace racism a bit as well. I guess to start with, what's on your birth certificate for your racial classification? We'll start Chantel.
That is a very good question. I believe it is, I'm actually not sure. It's been a while since I've actually seen my birth certificate. But if I would have to guess, possibly African American.
Okay.
But like I said, I haven't, checked it, so it could also be, biracial on there as well. So I can check that for you and get back to you on that.
That would be good. We would, I would appreciate that. Akana, do you know what's on your birth certificate for your racial classification?
Yes. It says Black/African-American.
Okay. Interesting. I have more questions on that, but one of the very first questions that I wanted to get to, and I feel like, Akana, you already kind of alluded to it, but this is from April of this year. So this is the middle of the primaries. Michelle Alexander, she is a non-white female, like both of our guests. She has a white parent and a black parent, and she wrote The New Jim Crow. I'm not disparaging her work or anything. I think it's relevant. And the context of the question that is about to be asked by Puff, the context is in April of this year, Michelle Alexander was speaking about racism and the candidates. And I think she was talking about her support of Bernie Sanders. And I prefaced my remarks. I played the audio, her commentary, and I just said that I do think it's significant that Michelle Alexander has a white parent. And so Puff, she heard that, and this is the question that she asked that I'm posing to both of you, so you all can answer Puff's question. This is Puff from April 2nd of this year.
So my question, why is having a white parent important? I mean, the point is, the offspring are not white, is what I'm saying. Even if it's somebody light-skinned like Cameron's voice, the actor, victim of racism, Cameron Boyce. Even if they're that light skinned, I mean, they're still black, is what I'm saying. So why is having a white parent significant or important?
So, if we're all victims of racism, and, you know, it doesn't matter, why is it significant, or even is it significant, important that you two have a white parent if we're all victims of racism? We'll start Akana.
This is an interesting question, but I think that it's significant because if the white parent is involved with raising the child, that child is allowed into white spaces that black people are not allowed into. So we're able to see and observe and consume those experiences and almost become them in a way. The whiteness, although it might not be fully physical, it is definitely mental. If that makes sense.
Mental, how so?
As far as mental identity.
Am I to understand that in terms of you as a non-white person with a white parent, that white parent ends up impacting your identity to where you somehow are thinking that you're a white person in some way?
No. I guess, yes. It's kind of hard to put it. I guess that's why we're called tragic mulattoes, because it is very confusing. But it's almost like having a white identity where you identify with certain aspects of white culture and having a black identity where you identify with aspects of black culture. There are certain spaces where I know I can be white, and there are certain spaces I know I can be biracial or black, if that makes sense. I can perform, I can play the white role. I hope that answers your question.
What's a space where you can perform the white role, quote unquote, and what would that entail?
Work is, I think, would be a good example, not necessarily work, but definitely like an interviewing process. When you're first meeting someone, especially if they're white, going to areas that are predominantly occupied by white people, I can take on certain aspects that I've learned, certain characteristics that I've learned from my white family to make the people around me feel comfortable.
Wow. Does any of that involve practicing racism, harming non-white people, or speaking bad about non-white people?
Absolutely not. It definitely can include observing racism and directly observing racism. I think
Uh-oh. Did we lose O'Connor? Are you still with us? Hopefully we won't have wacky interference. O'Connor, are you still with us? We're not hearing you if you are still with us. How interesting. While we are waiting to figure out what happened, I will switch, since we still have Chantel with us, and get her response to the question. But I will take a note so I remember my spot where we were with the question. Chantel, is it significant or important that you have a white parent, or are we all just victims of racism?
Growing up, I thought it was. I was very naive because I saw that I was treated differently than my other non-white friends who were black. And they noticed that. And I would have to agree with what she has said in terms of particular spaces where I can actually mingle with white people and not have a problem. That's how it was for me growing up. But starting to realize as I got older, I would say I've had noticed some racism practiced towards me that was very, what is the word? Very passive, I guess. So it wasn't like direct how like some of my other black friends. For example, my one black friend, Sophia, one of my white female friends who like looked up to me, she would call her the N-word every so often just for fun. And I would go and tell her that I don't understand why you're saying that. And she's like, because she is. I'm like, you should not be saying that. So the fact that she was able to say it in front of me, first, she wasn't expecting me to respond. I don't know why. I guess because she assumed that since my mom played, I would somehow agree with what she's doing. But besides the point, I've had stuff like that happen where I have other Black people who would get treated a lot differently from me than me, and white people assume that I would accept it. And, of course, I wouldn't, and I would say something. But, yeah, I would definitely have to agree with Chantel. There is some advantage, especially being light-skinned. But, yeah, I would definitely have to say that there is an advantage with that.
So does that mean that it is significant or important that you have a white parent since there's an advantage? Does that mean it's significant?
In terms of my view now, growing up, I would say, yeah. I think if my mom wasn't white, I think things would be different. And I think my dad's aware of that as well.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Even though he's the one who makes the most money in the house.
White supremacy trumps all. Akana, I think she said that, I guess at certain times, certain spaces, she's able to perform the role of a white person. She can kind of perform that white role. Are there any times where you have been able to perform, quote unquote, perform a white role?
Yeah, every so often. Even just talking on the phone during interviews, what will end up happening is if it's a white person that is actually interviewing me, they automatically assume I'm a Black person because I sound white on the phone.
You're a Black person?
I assume I'm a white person my voice.
Okay.
Yeah, and then when I go in for the interview, you know, they get a little hesitant, but they still manage to talk to me and, you know, but that's really, to be honest with you, that's really the only time that, like, with the phone interviews and stuff, I can get away with that. Me listening to rock music, going to concerts with white friends seems pretty acceptable. Haven't really had any problems with that. But definitely with interviews, I would definitely have to say, because every so often I do think about it, what if I was darker, would I have been treated differently than if I was light-skinned?
Fascinating. Let me see. Akana, are you with us? Are we still having trouble?
I'm here.
Okay. Outstanding. Glad we did not lose you. That is fascinating. I have contended for years under the system of white supremacy. White people, they deem it important if a non-white person has a white parent, and there's a lot of evidence of that down through the years. I think it's important as well. That doesn't mean that the non-white person is not a victim of racism. I'm not saying that at all, but just it is important, and it can have a huge impact, very detrimental, unfortunately, having that white person in that victim's life. If they have been able to practice racism during their formative years, it can have a just devastating impact on that non-white person's understanding and grasp of racism. Just visually, I think it's important for both of you. And then I'll pick back up with Akana in terms of where we left off and when she's able to play this white role and what have you. Visually, just for listeners, could you all kind of describe kind of phenotypically what you look like? If you could pick out maybe somebody who we've seen who is, quote unquote, who has a white parent and a non-white parent, like a Thandie Newton, President Obama, Alicia Keys, like, you know, are you in that range, a little lighter, a little darker? If you can pick somebody else that you think, hey, this person is pretty close to my complexion.
I would say that I do look similar to Alicia Keys, but my hair is more similar to Tracee Ellis Ross. I do get compared to her often, so that might be a better choice.
From Black-ish? Diana Ross's daughter.
Yeah.
Got it. That's Akana. Chantel?
I have been compared to one of the, in terms of the skin complexion, I've been compared to Tia and Tamara.
Hmm, okay.
With their skin complexion.
Okay.
As well as Alicia Keys, but mostly Tia and Tamara.
Okay. And I guess just a general FYI, Chantel actually is a twin, even though I think she now has a cosmic twin, but she actually is a twin. Is your twin the same complexion?
Yep.
Okay. All righty. So, Akana, we got disrupted. You were given us when you're able to kind of perform this role of whiteness, what it entails.
So I think I was speaking about performing racism. No, I would never, even if I was playing the white role, I would never commit any acts of racism. But definitely witness them, and like Chantel mentioned, passively my experience some racism, statements about hair and microaggressions, I think they're more commonly known as. But I think that that's very significant. And I think that it's okay for non-white people that have two black parents, I think that it's okay for them to acknowledge the difference.
Right on, right on. If listeners have questions, or if we have other folks out there who, other people, non-white people who have a white parent, if you want to share your thoughts, certainly chime in. We certainly will make time for questions. Throughout your experience growing up, even now, the white people that you were around, children or adults, did they in any way like make it known explicitly or implicitly that they recognize that, oh, you are non-white, but you do have a white parent? Was that a regular thing or no? Chantel?
In my case, I would have to say if the person knew me, if they were friends of me, they always acknowledged that I had a white mother all the time.
All the time?
All the time.
Wow.
Then there are times, obviously, if someone who didn't know me and they just saw me first glance, they would obviously try to figure out what I am, because they wouldn't automatically assume I'm black. I never get the assumption that I'm black. There's always something, they're like, you must be Spanish or white or something. You cannot be fully black. I get that all the time. With white people that I have friends with, and family, mostly friends, they always acknowledge the fact that I'm not just black.
And Chantel, she was talking about her voice on the phone. I told her regularly, I think she sounds like a white girl from New Jersey, and she is in New Jersey, but she sounds like a white girl in New Jersey, and she said that she is frequently mistaken for her white mother on the phone, and yes, I would concur. She sounds like a white woman, a white New Jersey girl, to be specific. Akana, did whites childhood or now, did they recognize that you have a white mother?
I never got questioned about my mother. It was usually the question that I usually got was, oh, okay, so who's black? Like referring to my parents, wondering which one was black. No, I can't really say that there were any questions about my mom being white, but there was definitely acknowledgement that that one of my parents was black.
Interesting. I get what type of environment were you all around growing up? Were you around mostly white people, mostly non-white people, kind of a mix of both? Like what was that environment like for you all in terms of racial classifications? Chantel.
I would have to say it would be growing up diverse. So many different races.
Okay. Your school, there were lots of white people, lots of non-white people?
Yeah, my school was probably one of the most diverse high schools in the area.
And most of the, like your friends, the people that you spent time with voluntarily, were they all kinds of people, mostly white people, mostly non-white people?
Mostly white with some Asian.
Okay. And the types of people your parents were hanging out with, a little bit of everything, mostly white, mostly non-white?
Well, specifically, it's interesting. My mom used to have a few black female friends. She has lost them since. And she did have two white female friends that she lost as well, but now she has one black female friend that she's really close with. But she has had issues over time with black females, not so much white females.
No surprise there. Akana, the types of people you were around growing up?
While I was mostly raised around my white family, my everyday environment was very diverse. My school was mostly non-white. Most of my schools, the vast majority of the schools that I went to, there's a brief period of my life between 7th and 8th grade that I was completely surrounded by white people. The only other black person I saw was my sister.
Wow.
But for the most part, I've been raised in a fairly culturally diverse as far as it comes to non-white people. My schools and friends of my parents, my mother, I've never seen my mother hang out with white people. So, yeah, it was pretty diverse.
That I think, interesting pattern right there. It seems both of your white mothers have a predilection for hanging out with dark folks. Is that accurate?
Yes. That's very true.
Very true. Okay. Did your, Akana, did your mom have black female pals as well?
Yes. Her best friend is a black female. She's had several very close black female friends. I've noticed that the main theme or something in common between these friendships is that she was introduced to these black women by Hispanic women. I would say white Hispanic women, not non-white. So I think that might be relevant. But yes, she has had very close relationships with black women. Even my dad's sister, they still, I would say they talk about once a month, and she and my dad haven't been together since maybe 12 years.
Wow. Wow. That's what a bond of sisterhood. Did you all, like your parents, did they talk about racism in the house growing up, your white mother specifically, but certainly include, you know, if your father participated as well, but did your parents, did they discuss racism at all growing up with you all, Akana?
Yeah, they did. They did. My dad, not so much. I do remember he told me something when I was older, around 16, after they had separated, about my mother's stepdad who raised her, and they grew up in a small town together. So my mom's stepdad kind of had this reputation of being just a rude, arrogant guy and definitely a racist. But my dad mentioned in like a slightly endearing tone, and this is not to blame him for anything, but my dad mentioned that my mom's stepdad was cool with him. They, you know, they had a decent relationship. They would work on cars together and things like that. But as far as talking about racism, I definitely got the stories about how my mom lost white friends. And my general idea of racism was that anybody of any race can be racist as long as they hate someone that's not the same race as them. So a very confused upbringing.
Wow. Who, I guess, who do you remember, like, who was promoting that? Was that a joint effort of everybody kind of giving this notion that everybody can be racist if, you know, you hate someone else or what have you?
No, absolutely not. That was my mom. All the way. Absolutely her. Yes, that was her.
Wow. Did she ever say that, you know, I think these black people are racist or any non-white people were racist?
No, but I do remember a conversation we had about 2 years ago. We were on a road trip to visit my white family for the holidays, and we were discussing something that I heard Whoopi Goldberg say on The View. And she mentioned that black people can't be racist. And at that time, I was not a Cows listener, so you can go ahead and assume what's coming next. I said to my mom, I was like, you know, Whoopi Goldberg is crazy. Black people can be racist. And my mom was like, absolutely. I've had black people call me a white bitch and a she-devil and all this other stuff just because I dated your dad. My mom definitely encouraged that way of thinking. She absolutely encouraged it. And she had her little tales to back it up.
White girls do it better. And for listeners, if you all remember Dorothy Bullitt, that was the I mentioned her yesterday on the program, the white woman. She's here in Washington State with me. She was on the program. We talked about her white enslaving ancestors, but she would not identify her white enslaving ancestors as white supremacists or terrorists, even though they enslaved a lot of black people. But she indicted black people that she went to high school with here in Washington State as racist because they called her cracker and other names when she stayed at the mostly black school in Seattle, Washington. White women. Wow. Chantel, do you remember like your mom or your dad as well talking about racism as you were growing up?
Yes, definitely. Just like Chantel had said, both of my parents agree with the whole idea that anybody can be racist. So, it was both, not just one parent. They don't really talk about racism that much, unless somehow I bring something up about it. So we don't really, like, have discussions about racism.
I'm going to make an assumption here that both of you being victims of racism, that you had a problem with racism at some point in your life, in the first 20 years of you being on the planet, that racism was a problem at some point. Did your parents ever help you at any moment to help you understand what racism is, or if you felt like you were being mistreated in any way and you went to them, were they helpful in dealing with that and helping you understand what was happening?
My parents did not.
So did you have an incident where racism was being practiced against you? You went to them to try to figure out what happened and they were not helpful?
I wouldn't say, just recently, at my job, I had mentioned to my parents about how racist my boss is towards me. And my mom's response was, oh, Chantel, you don't know that's true. And then my dad's like, you know, he seemed to be more agreeable. He's like, well, you know, that's how life is. You kind of just have to, you know, do what you have to do to ignore them. Whereas my mom was more like, oh, you don't know that's true. You can't make assumptions.
Wow, that's a more recent one. This is an important question because this is a pattern that is beyond Akana and Chantel. I've seen this with all of the non-white people who have a white parent that I have talked to, read about. Racism was a problem for them even when they were children, and their white parent was not helpful. Like their white parent did not sit them down and accurately explain racism or prepare them to deal with that, like every time. I think we might have had one or two guests on the program, now that I'm thinking on it, who said that their white parent did talk a lot about racism, and even that their white parent talked more about racism than the black parent and talked about it accurately for the most part. Well, obviously not that accurately, but gave some level of correct information about racism, but generally that is not the rule. That's one that I try to ask regularly. Akana, was your mother helpful at any point where racism was a problem for you? Was your mother specifically, was she helpful? Did she get accurate information when you had a problem with racism and presented it?
No. For the most part, I never really thought to go to my mom for help with racism. I didn't feel like she knew enough. but I will say that my grandmother was very helpful. My father's mom, she was very helpful. Not so much as giving me information on or counter-racist information, but just encouragement and empowerment and kind of instilling like a mental strength.
Outstanding. I'm so glad to hear that. The A+ for your paternal grandmother, black self-respect. I just before I move to the next question, that piece, as I stated yesterday, as I've said for years, white people cannot be ignorant about racism. I think the call in Alabama, I think it was Crystal Tyler. I don't know if people heard that program, but the white woman, she married a black male to get his DNA. That's exactly what she said. They have a child, daughter. She got the DNA of a black crackhead, her words. But he asked, you know, why would a racist woman even have a child with a non-white person, knowing you're going to bring a victim of racism into the world, and then you're not going to adequately equip that child, at least to be like, hey, man, I'm racist. All of these white folks are racist, and you need to be on guard and do this, and watch out for this. And just, you know, they could hook you up with a nice little manual, but they don't do that. They don't give you the information. Overwhelmingly, they do not do that. And in fact, I've seen where white parents actively discourage conversation on racism. I think you just heard Chantel say she brought up that she was being mistreated on the job, workplace racism, and her white mother said, you don't know that's true. That's a standard racist tactic. We hear that all the time. It's not racism, it's anything else. I thought, Akana, unless you all had anything you wanted to add to that subject, if I have misstated or misrepresented your views, please correct me. Anything you want to add to that before we move forward? Folks, Akana and Chantel, both satisfied?
Yep, I'm good over here.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm good.
Moving forward, next question. How did you all identify growing up? Like when you were in middle school and high school, were you identifying as black? Were you identifying as biracial, something else? How did you identify yourself? We'll start, Akana.
I identified vehemently as biracial. I never allowed anyone to box me in as black or box me in as white. I was extremely proud to have a white parent and a black parent. I always identified as racial. Even on forms, if mixed race was not an option, I would check other. I think because my parents were together at a young age and I had them growing up, there was something, I guess, about seeing them together that felt normal. And so I didn't see anything wrong with identifying as biracial. I didn't feel like I wanted to choose between which parent I wanted to represent me.
Was that encouraged, you identifying as biracial? Do you remember anyone saying, yeah, Akana, that's what to do, biracial, be proud?
Yes, absolutely. I have two older siblings that were also taught this by my parents, so the encouragement was strong there.
Wow. Your black father and white mother were both encouraging, yes, be vehemently proud in your biracialness.
Yes.
Wow. Chantel, how did you identify growing up?
I would have to agree with Akana. It's the same situation. I identified myself as biracial growing up when I had forms that I fill out, especially college applications. I put, if there wasn't a choice to choose more than one race, I checked off other. In terms of my family, both of my parents encouraged me to let people know I'm biracial, as well as my great-grandmother on my mom's side.
Wow. Fascinating. That might be another reason. Just add that in the box in terms of why it's significant, in my opinion, that a non-white person has a white parent. Might be significant, might not be. What was your relationship like with your white mother growing up? And how did that relationship change as you got older? We'll start with Chantel.
My relation with my mom, I was not close with her, not even from birth. I actually had ended up staying in the hospital for 4 months because my heart stopped. So I actually was not close to my mom. And once I got back in the hospital and once they were raising me, I didn't really trust my mom. So I couldn't really obviously openly talk to her about racism pretty much or anything. I would always go to my dad for stuff.
Wow, that's, I was about to be like, come on now, Chantel, you are pulling our legs and you were not even close at birth. And then, that's huge. I mean, they talk about that, those first few weeks after birth, that's really important for that bonding. And then you said that you felt like you could not trust your mom. You went to your dad when you had, you know, I guess problems or just, you know, where you needed attention or something that you wanted to share, you would go to your dad. Not your mom. Some people might say, well, hey, you have a lot of black children that are not close with a parent for a variety of reasons. That might not necessarily have anything to do with her being white. What would your response be?
I would say they're probably wrong about that. It's a half-half situation. I still think race is involved. Even now, I don't have a good relationship with her. I don't think that's going to change. I feel like once I, you know, move out of my parents' house, I'll probably still have communication with my dad. Not so much with my mom.
Huh. Wow. Does your mom try to like reach out to be like, you know, hey, this is my daughter and, you know, I'm going to try to work on this relationship. I know it's not, you know, it's not perfect, but we're going to try to work on this. Does she make that effort with you?
Yeah, but I think she's fake about it. I don't think she really means it. I don't think it's genuine. She only does it in front of like people, but really I think she doesn't like certain things. She doesn't like the fact that I don't listen to her. In terms of how she views on how I should do things with myself or how I should live my life. So, yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Akana, your relationship with your white mother?
As a testament to our cosmic sisterhood, I would have to agree with Chantel. I've never been very close with my mother. Even at birth, my mother was diagnosed with postpartum depression. I've been told many times that I was a birth control baby. But I distinctly remember stories of my dad telling me when my mom and I came home from the hospital, she didn't deal with me at all for several weeks. I want to say for about 3 weeks, only my dad would take care of me. And I have a sister that's 6 years older than me and a brother that's a year and a half older than me. So they were also in the home. I'm assuming my mom attempted to care for them in that time of her poor postpartum depression. but similar to Chantel, I've never felt close with my mom. In the years that my dad was still in the home, I always went to him for everything. I never really dealt with my mom unless she was like in the room watching TV with me. It wasn't until they separated when I was 8 that
My dad wasn't really available, and even when he was, she didn't allow him to spend time with us. So she was really my only person that I could go to, and it would have to be something pretty extreme for me to even, you know, come to her about. She was very ingenuine. Everything about our relationship felt fake. Even her physical touch, even her physically touching me, it's something about the energy that it does not feel motherly.
Well, I think that that would be another one, significant, the insincerity or fakeness in the relationship. I think both of them touched on that being a key element of their relationship with their white mothers, and that seems pretty standard for our relationship with whites in general, that I think someone has said it gets best tacky, trashy, terroristic, that it just ends up being very superficial the way that they interact with us, unless it's about some mistreatment, then it's real genuine. Same thing, did your white mom, has she made some efforts to say, you know, Akana, no, we don't have the best relationship, but I'm not going to allow this to deteriorate. This is going to be better. I'm going to put my best foot forward. We're going to do this.
No. I actually recently approached her. Well, I won't say recently, but towards the beginning of the year, this year, May, I stopped contact with her as much as I can because we do work together. So I have a facade to keep up. But I remember distinctly when I told her why I no longer wanted to speak with her, she sent me a text message and she said, oh, sorry you're hurt, I'll leave you alone. And that's kind of how it left off.
That's not buckets and buckets of words.
No, she simplified it for me.
Wow. Wow. Now that's not funny, but I mean, it's so tacky. Like, this is your mom. Like, wow. Wow. White girls do it better. Context of white supremacy. There's a region. It says tragic arrangements at the top. And I must again invoke the name of Dr. Francis Cress Welsing and Tater Pie. People have for years, because this is people's favorite subject matter, and even Gus T. Renegade, and the cows was not on the air, when I started to notice how explosive Area 8 can become and how much attention and how angry white people get at the notion of non-white people saying it is massively incorrect. That's one thing that should be at the center of this whole program. It is massively incorrect for non-white people to engage in sexual activity with white people under the system of white supremacy. It is rape, sexual terrorism, exploitation, every single time, white man, white woman, none of it should be happening under the system of racism, white supremacy, period. And when people talk about this and get upset and it shouldn't happen, or whatever they think about it, most of the time people forget that you can have children as a result of sexual activity. What is going to happen to these offspring if a non-white person is engaged in sexual activity with a race soldier? What happens to the child? That frequently gets dropped from the equation, and I was not even processing that at first. It took a non-white person who had heard me talking about this subject and said, well, you know, what about people like President Obama? Do you, you know, look at that? How does that factor in? And I was like, I'm not really concerned about that. And he said, well, that seems like it's directly connected. That's what happens with tragic arrangements. You go to bed and you can have children. I said, yep, that's... You are correct. Right at the center, this is what happens. I think Dr. Welsing, what does she say? When you play around with sex, the joke is on the offspring. Sorry you're hurt, I'll leave you alone. How is your mother's relationship with the other black people in your family? People on your dad's side. Chantel? I think Chantel got dropped. Let me add her back to the line. Didn't even see that something happened. Okay, you're back with us, Chantel. How is your white mother's relationship with the other black family members, your dad's black families? How is your mom's relationship with them?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It's very interesting, actually. My mom tries to... praise them a lot, especially my dad's mother. When they come over for like Thanksgiving or any other family gatherings, my mom ends up being the one cleaning and basically making sure that they're taken care of, doing stuff for them, a little bit overly excessive. Sometimes they're like, oh, you know, you don't have to do that, and she'll do it anyway. So it's more of a just trying to please them. It's like she's trying to fit in kind of thing. But yeah, it's more of when his family comes over, she's like walking on eggshells, and she ends up actually getting very, very smiley, like overly, like excited and very smiley with them. Doesn't show any hint of anger for anything. Even though behind closed doors, she will talk about them to my dad.
Interesting. I guess, Akana, you already gave a little bit in saying how your dad's sister, I guess, she and your mom stay in touch, had their conversation about once a month or so. What's your white mother's relationship with your black family members?
They don't really keep up with each other. They're like on Facebook friend status, I guess you could say. She does get invited to holiday events. She actually gets invited to them more often than I do. like a New Year's party. She's invited to every single New Year's party that my dad's family throws. And she occasionally attends, and they appear to be pleased with her presence. So I guess she's done a pretty good job of maintaining that relationship with them.
Wow. And that's significant difference. Chantel, her white mother, black father, they are still married, have been together for some time. Akana, her white mother and black father divorced since she was 8 years old. So that is interesting, even after a divorce that ended a while ago, and she's still invited and seems more welcome than you in some sense at these events. That is, do any of the black family members think your white mom is racist, Akana?
I highly doubt it. I think for the most part, the majority of my black family members are still pretty confused about racism. So no, I don't think that she's, I will say my grandmother, my dad's mom, she probably thinks it, but she wouldn't, out of respect, I guess, for, I'm not sure, out of respect for something, she probably would not reveal it to me explicitly, but she's definitely suggested, things about my mother, certain traits she's acknowledged about my mom that coincide with racist white supremacy code.
Interesting. Very interesting. Chantel, any of your black family members suspect your mom of being racist?
From what I know, no one has said anything directly. I would have to agree with Akana. I'm sure they probably have some idea of it. Out of respect, they probably wouldn't say anything. But I would say overall, most of my dad's family is very confused.
To be expected. We already got like one major one. Chantel gave us live time report of what was happening with her white mom when they made the announcement, no indictment for the murder of Michael Brown Jr. Like major racial events in the last 20 years, Hurricane Katrina, O.J. Simpson, President Obama, things of that nature, that Trayvon Martin, things that a lot of people talked about and were directly related to racism, white supremacy. Do you remember like how your white mom talked about those events? Akana, we'll start with you.
As far as Katrina goes, we live in Houston, and my mom's a nurse, so she volunteered. Her white sisters actually drove in from Dallas and volunteered. Racial events, I can't ever remember her taking a clear stance on anything.
I do recall her talking about OJ, and she never explicitly said how she felt about the situation. She just explained what was going on around her at the time. In newer scenarios like Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, she would never instigate those conversations, and she would participate as minimally as she could. I can never really recall her saying anything about those events. Nothing explicitly about racism and those events.
Did she ever make it clear, like, if she voted for President Obama, or, you know, who she was going to vote for in any of the elections, Trump, Clinton, the last election, or what she thought about President Obama's time in office?
Yes, absolutely. We canvassed for President Obama. That was the year he ran was, I believe, no, that was about 2 years before I was able to vote. So she was trying to get me into politics. We did like a canvassing in neighborhoods. She's been like a really, I guess, flagrant Democrat my whole life. So she's going to support whoever is running for Democrat. I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that he's, I don't think that President Obama being biracial was more important to her than electing a Democrat.
Hmm. Got it. Interesting. Chantel, or we'll see, because what you just shared, that seems similar, at least, to what we heard from Chantel about the Ferguson situation, where her mom didn't seem to have any interest in that at all. Nothing to say. And in fact, let's, you know, get a little action going. Your mom, do you remember any of her comments on any of the big events over the last 20, 25 years or so? Some of the ones that I mentioned, Hurricane Katrina, President Obama, Trayvon Martin, or the Ferguson situation we got already?
I know with the Trayvon Martin situation, she just kept talking about why did he run away. Oh, no, it was Mike Brown. She kept saying, why did he run away from the cop? You should never run away from a cop, that whole excuse situation. And my dad would always argue with her and be like, oh, it's not, it has nothing to do with that. If it was a white guy, they would have not shot him. But that kind of argument going back and forth. But most of the time, there are times where she has instigated in terms of asking me what my opinion is, because she assumes I have an opinion about everything. And of course, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And then she's like, Chantel, you know that's not nice to say. I'm like, well, why are you, what did you expect me to say? So she kind of makes me feel bad for like making like a really open statement, which she supposedly finds me being racist, which I don't agree with. But other than that, that one that I did tell you about, that one was very shocking to me because I had to say something that I've never seen before. And my dad you can tell he seemed a little uncomfortable and bothered by the fact of what she did, especially in front of me, which I actually felt very uncomfortable. But other than that, yeah, she will try to, like, for example, this election, she voted Hillary Clinton. You know, she's like, oh, she would always make the statement, oh, Hillary Clinton's for, you know, black people. And I was not going to say anything because I did not want to be arguing with her. So they tried to get me to vote for Hillary.
Hmm.
But I didn't vote.
Uh-oh. It's people like you is why Trump got in. That's what they've said. Do you remember at any point your black father, white mother having an argument about racism, or having an argument where racism was a part of the conflict? Do either one of you remember an incident like that?
You can go.
No, I don't.
Gus, you mean like an argument in regards to what's going on, like in the news?
It can be personal, or if they had an argument because of something they saw in the news and they had a different opinion, either or, but just where race was a part of the disagreement.
Most of the time, it's usually what's on the news. Personally, work. But my mom would agree with my dad. If there was like a racist incident that happened in his shop, she would always just be on the side and agree with him. But in terms of the news, it'll be two complete opposite opinions. And they'll go back and forth and argue, and I'll just sit there and watch. And it's like, it seemed like my dad wants me to get in there, and I try to stay out of it. Because I know that my statement is just going to be so, it would literally stop their whole conversation.
Wow. How has, as your understanding of racism, white supremacy has increased, how has that impacted the relationship with your white mothers, Akana?
Because my understanding of racism, white supremacy wasn't as, I guess, refined as it is now. When I stopped talking to my mom, there was an incident with her earlier this year that made me decide that it was not healthy or constructive to have her in my life, but I was willing to put those things aside if she put forward an effort. Now that I have a more clear understanding of racism, I'm not willing to rekindle any type of relationship with her. And I'm not really willing to strengthen my relationships with any other white people in my life.
You, I assume you have other white family members. It's not just your white mother. You have other white family members, yes?
Yes, I do. I still communicate with them, but I don't put forth as much of an effort as I did before to have a relationship.
Chantel, how has your relationship with your mom evolved since you've increased your understanding of what racism is, how it works?
I would have to say, since I have an understanding, relationship obviously has not gotten better. I can definitely tell she is very weary of me. Like, just for example, I came downstairs in the basement. I said, don't lock me out, because she always likes to lock me out down here in the basement every time I come down here. So she looked kind of a little bit concerned in terms of what I was doing down here. But she just walked away and just kind of slammed the door behind me. But besides that, having more of an understanding about racism, I'm very aware of her as much as she's aware of me. And I don't think the relationship is going to get better.
Wow. And any of your other white family members, same thing, I assume, and since your parents are still married, I assume you still have other white family members that are in your house from time to time and you have contact. Has your relationship with them changed?
Some of my white family members, I don't get, there's not many of them I get a chance to hang out with. I see more of my dad's family more than my mom's. There's a lot of people that passed away in my mom's side of family. My mom's brother, Chad, he lives out in Texas. I rarely talk to him. He doesn't even, our family, my mom's side of family, they don't even talk to each other. The only other person I probably talk to is my, my mom's mother and my great grandmother.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Before we get to some of the folks who called in, I have it in the description that your mothers are white and they are racist. Is that an accurate description, just from you all's own conclusion? You all have direct experience. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is true.
I have two questions. I'll get the first one in. As you've been studying, like the rest of us still learning, trying to increase your understanding, as you've been studying and kind of reflecting, because that's something that I encourage all victims of racism to do, but you two specifically, as you've been kind of reflecting on your experience and your relationship with your white mother, can you like think of an incident specifically where at the time you didn't think she was doing anything, or it might have even been that you thought she was doing anything? It might have been at the time that it happened, you might have thought she was doing something incorrect, but you didn't think of it as an act of racism. Is there a specific episode that you could share with us, the both of you, where now with a better understanding looking back, where you can see, yes, this is a time where my white mother was practicing racism. I didn't recognize it as that at the time, but that's what it was. Can you share one such incident? Chantel?
I might have to think about that. Connie, you can go ahead.
Okay. I guess I might have to describe the context of the situation. I was coming back from an event with my mother, her married boyfriend, and his two children. He's black. My mother, I've never seen my mother in romantic relationships with white people. So her black married boyfriend and his two children, myself and my son, were all in the car. She was taking me and my son back home from the event. And somehow my son's godmother, who is my mom's best friend, it's who I mentioned earlier before, a non-white black female, came up. I'm not sure how she came up. I suppose she called one of us or something like that. So after her name came up, there was something mentioned by my mom's boyfriend about her best friend's character. And my mom goes on to tell a story about how when this individual, I'll call her B, when I was younger, right after my mom had split up, B came to live with us. B was in an abusive relationship. So my mom goes on to tell a story about B and how B would always have men coming in and out of our apartment in front of me and my brother, and how my mom didn't agree with it, but she allowed it because B was her best friend. I'm fairly certain she used the word whore. And at the time, I knew that it was wrong, and I wanted to say something because I have a very close relationship with B. She is my son's godmother. And so I was thinking at the time, okay, this is not right. You're talking about yourself. I can name several men that would come over looking for you. So I thought that was interesting then, but now that I have a more clear understanding of racism, I see how refined she is, even in her friendships and everyday situations. First, she encourages divorce of a black family because her black boyfriend was married to a melanated black woman, and they have two black children together. So she's encouraging the destruction of this family. And not only that, to throw more salt on black women, she goes on to flip the roles and describe her own behavior as harsh, but place that behavior on her quote unquote best friend.
Wow, that's a that is a pretty detailed example. Wow. And that and the levels of just treachery, as you stated, breaking up this family and encouraging all of that, and then to trash out someone that's a family member. This is your grandchild's godmother. And just, wow. Doesn't get any better than tacky, to reference Mr. Fuller again. Did you need more time to think, Chantel? If you can't think of an example, it's not a pop quiz or anything. You didn't fail the test, but I'm just asking.
Hello, Gus?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah. I do have one. And I believe I had mentioned it a few minutes ago when I had said that one of my friends had called my friend at a party that I was at, the N-word. And I actually came home from the party because I was very disgusted by what happened. And I told my parents, and that's my mom said, you shouldn't assume. And my dad's like, you're not hanging out with that girl anymore. His response was pretty straightforward. I was expecting her to say the same thing he was going to say, but she did not. So then I got very skeptical as to her response. So that made me, I think, going forward there, that made me not even trust her even more. Because I was very traumatized by what happened, as well as my friend. And I am not friends with that white female anymore. And my mom keeps asking me why. And I keep telling her she is racist. My mom, how do you know that? I have my reasons. And I'm not going into detail because I know she would not agree with anything that I'm saying.
That's, we'll see. Is that another pattern? We'll ask Akana. If I heard that incident correctly, where your mom, it seems that she is supporting, defending the conduct of a white supremacist racist over her own non-white daughter. Has that happened to you, Akana?
I can't think of any situation just off the top of my head. No. I've never really went to my mother for advice about those situations, so... Yeah, I can't think of anything right now.
Got it, got it. Context of white supremacy. We had folks who called in. Last question I get before I get some of our callers. Do you remember the way, like, conversations that you had with your white mom once it became time to date? Like, did your mom say anything in terms of who you should date or interest? Guys you should talk to, guys you shouldn't talk to, just what were the types of conversations you were having with your white mother when it came dating time? Chantel?
Very interesting. It's interesting because it fluctuates. So I think towards around my freshman, well, into my senior year in high school, my mom was okay with me dating a white guy. It wasn't never a problem. They seem okay with me dating out, obviously, different people, different races. But in terms of encouraging, I would say they never really encouraged me to date a black person. They always seem to encourage to date a white person, which I have. But over time, now it's, my mom's like, oh, well, you know, you can date whoever you want. But I still feel like in the back of their head, if I date a white person, they feel like I will be taken care of. I won't have to worry about any financial problems, as they like to say every so often. And my dad would definitely agree with that if I dated a white person.
Did you exclusively, like when you were younger, high school age, that type of thing, high school, college, were you exclusively dating white guys then or black males at the time, non-white males, both?
In high school, I was dating a white guy. I did break up with him because his mom told him that you can only date Spanish or a white female. You cannot date a black female. And when I told my dad about that, my dad made me break up with him.
What'd your mom say?
Her response was, I'm sure there's a misunderstanding. My dad's like, break up with him.
That's second time that she's done that, sticking up for a racist over her own daughter. Time number two, probably on a list of many. That is amazing. Well, it's okay. So when you're younger, exclusively white guys, racist guys, it sounds like, with their racist family. And them, was it, I think you were saying it seemed like it was either implied or suggested, recommended, dating white guys, not so much black guys.
Yeah, because even when my parents met the white guy, they're just all smiles and giggles, which I found annoying, especially my mom in particular. She'd be very friendly and talk to the white guy, and he'll start talking about his mother, and it's like what? I will say, which is interesting, yeah, my dad will smile and giggles, but I did notice the one white guy I did date, my dad would hide, which I thought was very interesting.
Hide? Wait a minute now. Come on. What do you mean hide?
I wouldn't say hide. He just wouldn't come down. It's like he was scared to come downstairs to meet the person. Kind of weird. My mom was just like down there within seconds. She's like, oh, hi, all smiley. And she's like, oh, your mom's so nice. The guy I was dating at the time never really talked much about my dad, which I thought was very interesting. He never talked about how nice my dad was. Never, always about my mom. Always. Never anything about my dad.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
Wow. Before I get Akana, just I've been at least communicating with Chantel for a while now. You, I guess, are seeing, or whatever the term they want to use now, a non-white male. And this person did not participate in Thanksgiving. Did your white mom, did she have an issue with that?
You're speaking to me, Gus? Chantel?
Yeah. Yes.
So my mom's response was, because the guy I'm dating, he's Native American and black. He's Cherokee Indian. And I had told her that he doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. Her response was, what do you mean? And after I had told her that he's Native American, which my dad knew and my sister knew, we all kind of looked at her and was like, what do you mean? What do we mean? Like, my dad's like, this is my dad's response. Are you stupid? Why wouldn't he not celebrate Thanksgiving? Do you not know, understand the importance of Thanksgiving, what went on that day? And she's looking at him like, no. So my dad didn't explain to her. He just continued doing what he was doing. She's like, I don't understand what the big deal is. And we just kind of ignored her.
Mm. Yeah. Enforce the rituals of racism, white supremacy. Akana, do you remember the types of conversations that you had with your white mother when it became time to date?
I never really had any conversations about dating and who I should date. I had an extensive, at least an hour-long conversation about condoms and how to use them and scenarios in which I should and shouldn't be sexually active. Never anything about the types of people to date, but when I did start dating people, she tended to be very involved in my relationships with non-black men, and that was similar with friends growing up too. She seemed to be, she encouraged relationships with anyone that was not black. She never explicitly, well, no, that's not true. She definitely suggested verbally and through certain things that she did that she didn't agree with my relationships with black friends or boys that I was dating. She would make certain comments about how they're dirty. About, oh, well, what does he have going on? You know, what's going on with his life? What can he do for you?
that was kind of her, that was her comment pretty much about any non, anyone that was Black in my life. What are they doing for you? But never any just outright, you should date white boys. No.
And a slight divergence in the symmetry here. Akana, as she already stated, she is married to a Black male and has a child. Chantel is not married and does not have children at this point. What was your white mother's response to you marrying and then having a child with a Black male, Akana?
It was very negative. It has been a terrible experience. Since my relationship with my husband has been serious, I would say after maybe a year of dating is when she started to get more involved and try to sabotage our relationship, I guess you could say, or manipulate us in certain ways. There was a period of time where we both lived in her house when I was pregnant. I actually did not get an apartment or live out on my own until I got pregnant with my son. And that experience was really, it was tough. The mental terror that she practiced on us every day, daily, just making comments about, excuse me, about how we need to do more. You know, I remember explicitly her asking me if it was too late for me to get an abortion. She would have friends that would come over and kind of like look at me crazy. Just the energy, the vibe, everything about it was awful. She actually treated our dog better than me during those times. And I'm not sure if that would have been the same if my husband was white or non-Black. I had dated Hispanic guys before, and she was very involved with those relationships in a, I guess not in a positive way, but she encouraged me to be involved with those in those relationships. She would even call them and invite them to our house without me even knowing. So yeah, her, while she might not outright say anything negative about my relationship, about my marriage to me, her actions definitely reveal that. And I think it's easy for her to get away with it because she's only ever been involved with Black men. So a lot of people, a lot of people that know her wouldn't see that as a valid argument from me, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. How could she be racist? She had you. What are you talking about? You're the best piece of evidence. What are you talking about? Like, yeah, that is a very effective tactic. That's a pretty substantial allegation that she attempted to sabotage your marriage. Like, do you have evidence to support she was literally trying to sabotage your marriage?
Okay, I'll explain a brief scenario. And okay, so when my husband and I first started dating, I worked with an investigational drug study. Those studies don't last very long, so my job kind of had a time limit on it. When I was laid off from that job, my mother, my current job, my mother was working at this current company that I work at now. I was unemployed for 2 years with my husband. Luckily, my son was young, so we did get something constructive out of those years. I was able to stay at home with my son. But during the whole 2 years, even before I was officially laid off from that previous job, I had let her know, hey, I put in an application over there, let them know that, you know, I want a job. She had been working there for at least 3 years by then, and had been promoted. So it wasn't until 2 years later that there was some issues between my relationship, and I left. Within a week of me moving out of my home with my husband and my son, I had a job at the company that my mother was working at. She later explains, because I asked her, I said, you know, why didn't you tell them about me earlier? Keeping in mind that she, on several different occasions, at least two or three different occasions, let me know, hey, I talked to my supervisor about your application. They're looking into it. So just last year when I started working at this new company, I asked her, I was like, hey, why didn't you tell them about me before? And she said, oh, I figured you wouldn't have a ride to work since you only have one car. So I guess, I'm not sure. I kind of perceived that as her encouraging me to stay apart from my family. Not only that, I lived with her at that time in my, I wouldn't say childhood home. She bought that house when I was 15. So I guess my childhood home. I lived there in my old bedroom. She charged me $700 a month for one bedroom. I also had food benefits, like government food benefits at the time. She required that I put all of my food benefits, like, in her kitchen. She wanted to make sure that she had all of that money plus my $700 a month.
Wow, that's pretty substantial all the way around. Like, wow, that's pretty treacherous. Don't know how else to phrase that. In the encouraging of an abortion, like, wow, that's pretty monumental, in my opinion. Was this like live time when this was happening, when you leave the house and now all of a sudden you have a job within a week's time? Did you think then this is really suspicious, or did that take some time for you to kind of process?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It was very suspicious. Luckily, my husband and I were still communicating, and I told him about the situation, and he called it right then, right there. He said, you know, this is why you're not at home right now. She encouraged the mentality that I had when I left. She tried to continue to encourage that until, I'm not sure, I guess just God's will. I'm surprised that she was not successful in that. Now that I'm reflecting on it now, I'm surprised she was not successful.
What mentality was she encouraging?
Just that she was encouraging, oh, well, I raised you. She encouraged the mentality, well, I raised you and your three siblings without your dad, and he didn't do anything for you, and you can do it all on your own. You can get your nursing degree. And this is what she's been telling me. She was kind of steering me back onto whatever path she thought she had me on when I was younger, before I had legal free will.
Context of white supremacy. Wow. We will hit the phone lines. Thanks for your pay. And see, this is Chantel. She said, can we talk about white friends as well? And it was not that, you know, I didn't want to hear about the racist friends, because that isn't. But in fact, the first thing I said was, we already did that program, minus Akana. If you go back in the archives, Chantel, we had another non-white male. This was a non-white male with a white parent and a non-white parent. He has a white father. He was on, and they talked about white friends. And we've had other listeners call in and talk about their experience with white friends growing up practicing racism, and, you know, how it traumatized them and what have you. But just as I've stated for years, I know Cal's listeners pretty well. If it is one subject that will get people excited to ask questions, Area 8, sexual activity with white people. So there are lots of people who have a hand up. I thought this would probably happen, so there would not be time to discuss everything. So we might not be able to get white friends in. Thomas in New York, did you have a question for Akana Chantel? If we do not have time for a lot of speechifying today, so if you can get right to your question, everyone, that would be grand. Thomas in New York, did you have a question?
Good evening, Gus. Good evening to the two listeners and callers. I just have one question because I know there's a lot of people on. Do you guys know, being that you are half white and related to white people, do you know of any good white people? And I'll mute my line. Thank you.
No.
I thought there was one, but no.
Which one did you think was a good white person, quote unquote?
Growing up, my godmother, who's Jewish, who was my mom's friend. But as I got older, you know, she never contacted us that much. She used to watch me and my sister a lot growing up. My mom was working. I don't know why she was so fascinated by us, but she always watched us, took us out places and stuff. And then I think as I got older, she ended up having 5 stepdaughters, which are all white. So, you know, she didn't really spend as much time with us. Even as we got older, we talked about hanging out, and that didn't happen. So we kind of just grew apart over time.
Right on. Appreciate that, Thomas in New York. I have it in quotes in the description, but in the word God, Mr. Fuller, for the same logic, the same counter-racist reasons, he recommends not using the term biracial. That's why I have it in quotes in the description, and I try, if I say it verbally, I say biracial in quotes or quote-unquote biracial. But biracial as well as the word half white, for the same reason, you cannot be biracial or multiracial or any of these other iterations that they come out with, that is total racism. Either you're white or you're not, and making sure that we are not confused about that. The caller at Retired Firefighter, did you have a question for Akana? Chantel, you should be with us.
Yes, 2 quick questions. Question number one, this is to both of the guests. What was the turning point in your life that got you to start to study and therefore develop a better understanding of your personal situation in race and white supremacy and the greater understanding of race and white supremacy?
I would say parenthood definitely sparked that in me and my husband around the time that my son was born. He's born in 2012. There were lots of instances of overt racism towards black males in the media. So that definitely encouraged me. And then earlier this year, the incident with my mother and the discovery of cows, I've really gotten an in-depth sense of how racism is practiced, and I just want to empower my son.
Okay, relatively recent, okay. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay. The other guest?
My situation, I think the turning point for me was when I was in college. Had a lot of racism that was practiced with me, and my roommate was racist. Very interesting encounters with white males. And then when I got home, I never really talked to my parents about what happened. I didn't tell them anything that was going on in college because they probably have a different response. But that was really the turning point. And that's when I eventually found Bess's show.
Okay. Great. Last question is, and this is to both guests also, if your mother can or is listening to the program right now, what would be her, what do you think would be her reaction or action?
My mother would probably victimize herself. She would become the victim. And she would make sure that all of my white family members knew about this conversation. But absolutely, she would deny everything that I said. She would deflect everything back onto me, and she would absolutely cry. She's very, very skilled in those three areas.
Wow. Wow. Other guests?
The exact same thing, actually. My mom probably, if she found out about the show, she would get really angry, and then she'll start crying and then complain to my dad.
I would just wanted to say that this is a very, very informative program, and everything that I'm hearing coincides with what I have heard and observed of similar situations. And so I'd like to commend both of you two for being able to come onto the program and share with us this experience. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, retired firefighter. The Radiant 1842, did you have a question? Are you with us, 1842?
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Greetings, everybody. I have a couple of questions. A lot of them are just yes or no. So if I can do this and not take up too much time. Number one, do you all think that you all are not close with your white mom because you're kind of more like black women and she has some kind of jealousy or insecurity or like views you more like a threat, possibly?
I would agree with that.
I would definitely agree with that.
Oh, man, you got, I don't know who's who, but you both agreed, so I guess it's okay. Okay, cool. And then for one of you have a brother, or maybe both of you do, but I know one has a brother. Does she treat the brother differently than she treats the female children?
Yes, she does.
That's Akana that has the brother. Chantel has a twin sister. Akana, go ahead.
Akana, okay.
Yes, she does. She's attempted to be very close with my brother. My brother's a little less confused about racism. He doesn't really deal with white people on his off time, including my mother. But yes, growing up, absolutely. She did not really raise my sister. She was emotionally negligent towards me. But my brother, yeah, he had kind of like a Mrs. Brady type mom. She cooked, she bought him, you know, everything he could request. Not to trivialize my brother's experience, because my mother's still a racist and he's still a non-white male. But yeah, she treated him better.
I figured. Okay. And then, I know that these women are your mothers, so I'm not asking this in any way, shape, or form to be disrespectful. It's simply just a pattern that I've been observing about these white women who like to sewer, as Gus says, these black men or just always be around black people, are they like the unaccepted white females or maybe like less attractive white females?
I don't think I would agree with that. I think my mother is definitely overweight, but she's not unattractive. She's, this might be a bit of a stretch. She looks similar. Facial features are similar to Angelina Jolie, but her body's more like Melissa McCarthy, if you're familiar with those two actresses.
Chantel?
I would have to say, with my mom, Alex, what was the question again?
Is your mom maybe like not the most attractive or white female, or maybe she's less attractive, or she's just unaccepted, like she's an outsider to other white people?
My mom's considered very attractive. She is considered, people, a lot of white people find her attractive, as well as black people as well. I just think in terms of acceptance economically, I don't think, no offense, but I don't think a white male would marry her.
Thank you. Sorry
to interrupt, but I would have to agree with Chantel on that last statement. As far as social status goes, no, she doesn't really fit into typical white areas.
That's to say that they're quote-unquote lower-income white people?
Yes.
Lower middle class.
Okay. And then, did they ever tell you how they met? And what I'm specifically looking for is, did she pursue him? Or did she, like, how did she give him the okay that he could, you know, pursue her? If they shared that with you.
Connie, you can go ahead.
My father shared this with me after adulthood. But my mom was with my sister's father. He was allegedly physically and sexually abusive to her. My sister's dad is also second cousin to my father by marriage. And my aunt, my sister, my mom's sister, would come and find my dad, because my dad is a big guy. She would come and find my dad and say, hey, such and such is beating on her again. Will you go save her? And so that's kind of how that relationship started. My mom gave birth to my sister not too long before being rescued, quote unquote, by my dad. So my dad kind of felt an obligation to take care of them.
Chantel?
My situation with my parents met in high school. They were like totally high school sweethearts. But from what I was told by my dad, my mom pursued my dad forcefully. Her mother would basically complain that my dad would not take my mom out on dates, not spend time with her. My dad's answer to that was, you know, I'm busy doing homework. I work a lot. I don't have time. So my dad wasn't that committed to their relationship, but my mom was. So she was she pursued him a lot more than he did with her.
We will get our Next few callers in, just trying to see if we can get as many folks as we can. The caller at 8010, did you have a question for Akana Chantel?
Yes, good evening. I just wanted to ask Akana, I wouldn't ask both of them a question, but I'll start off with Akana. I just wanted to know, did your husband have any specific observations or incidents that that he observed in regards to your mother? And if so, you know, was he able to correlate, you know, her behavior to that of, you know, just saying that, okay, she is obviously racist or something like that?
No. Well, he's never said that to me. My husband is someone who he doesn't sugarcoat things. So I don't feel that he would, I don't think that he would hesitate to tell me if he felt like she was a racist. But no, I don't think that either of us recognized her actions as racist at the time. Now we fully acknowledge that she's a racist. Yeah.
Okay. And for, thank you. And for the other caller, Chantel, I just wanted to ask, what were, when you were, it seemed like you had dated a lot more white males. I came a little bit late into the call, so I'm not sure if you already touched up on this, but did you ever encounter any of the racist jokes that most of them tend to do, or were you ever caught in any type of situation with some, a couple of the white males that you did date?
Akana, you will have to field this one first. Chantel got disconnected. She should be ringing us back.
Oh, okay.
No, I've never had, or have I? I would have to look back into my experiences. I've only dated two white males, and it was at a very young age for a very brief amount of time. So I can't really recall any romantic relationships where racism was practiced against me, but I do have a racist joke for you, but it's not necessarily related to relationships, romantic relationships. But I was in middle school at this time of my life. I lived in a very small town. Population was about 300 people, just under 300 people. The vast majority of them were white. About 1% was was Hispanic white. And I was riding the bus one day, and a kid just out of nowhere says, "Do you want to hear a joke?" So, of course, I say, "Sure." And he says, "How do you keep a nigger out of your backyard?" "Hang one in the front." That's the only racist joke I've ever heard.
Violence against black people is fun and to be celebrated. That is a very, very common theme in racist jokes. And just for the record, our quote-unquote biracial daughter could remember a racist joke. We had a white woman who said she was raised to be a white supremacist and heard racist jokes all the time, and she couldn't tell us one. Chantel is back with us. I am curious to hear the response to this. The question from Princess Chantel was, could you share experiences since you have, quote unquote, dated white men where they were practicing racism in your presence, racist jokes or racist comments about black people?
In my experience, I haven't actually heard any racist jokes or comments, maybe like assumptions here or there about you know, because I think at that time, obviously, I was very confused. So we would just talk about, like music, and I'm trying to remember, he made an assumption about, like, Black culture. I'm trying to remember what it was, but there really wasn't that many racist jokes that was mentioned from any of the guys that I've dated. Racism, actually, anything racist wouldn't really come up. We wouldn't even talk about racism.
Oh. No, I wasn't. I hope that wasn't disrespectful, because I mean, I had a experience of myself with that, so I wasn't trying to ask just out of just being rude or anything. So I hope none of the guests took it that way. But thank you for answering my question.
This is a rarity where Gus knows the guest, one of the guests on the program. I wouldn't say very well, but I mean, she's been calling in for a while. I've talked to her. The incident, if there's something you don't want to share, that's fine too. But the incident, the infamous Tom, that would be like a whole program, who Tom is. And this is just a white male, in history. Racist white man, in the history of Chantel's time on the planet. Was there an experience where he and another white person joked about raping you?
Yes, there was. And it's crazy because I literally just forgot all about that. That is crazy. And that's probably how traumatized I was from it. It literally blocked my memory. Yes, that did happen when I was dating him. I had went over to his friend's house and I had slept on the couch while they were playing video games. And I did overhear, as I was sleeping, one of his white friends he was with said, hey, we should go ahead and rape her. And he's like, no, we shouldn't do that. He's like, why not? She's by herself. She's vulnerable. So I'm like, and then out loud I said, I can hear you. And they were laughing. To me, I had a very serious look on my face, but they still were laughing. That is very interesting that you brought that up, Gus, and I've actually blocked that out of my memory. I completely forgot about that. But from what I understand with trauma, sometimes you can actually, block out memories like that until somebody, reminds you of them.
Absolutely. And I've said this to many victims of racism. I said it earlier in this program. I think for a lot of victims of racism, all of us, we've been traumatized, and it's generational trauma. And it's just, you just try to suppress as much as you can just to function. That's why the self-medicating, the alcohol or cannabis or whatever it is, to just not have to think about how we have been so thoroughly terrorized. And that's why one of the things I've talked about workplace journal. You just have a journal for yourself just to kind of write down things and experiences, because it is amazing. I think Akana, when we were talking briefly before the program, like weeks before the program, we're saying the same thing just about having traumas that you've experienced and just having to take time where you can be in a space to even think about some of those traumas, to remember things that have happened and try to make sense and move on from it. I think that is a lot of us. So Black mental health, super important. And yeah, writing about those experiences can be very helpful in reflecting. The person, thanks for the question, Princess. The person that dialed in, I guess you're on the VOPE line. Did you have a question for Akana Chantel?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to the guest. I wanted to ask, both of you mentioned that when you were younger, you vehemently identified as quote-unquote biracial, and I wanted to know if you still identify as that today when you fill out forms. That's my first question. Thanks.
Akana?
I identify as Black, especially on forms. always on forms.
Same thing here. I started doing that actually after college.
Okay, thanks. And then my second and last question is, I wanted to know, when you were younger, or if you were born with a different phenotype, if you were born looking much whiter, let's say a mixed race person like Jennifer Bills, who looks white, or Mariah Carey, who looks white, but with, you know, African ancestry, would and at the time, you know, when you were younger, you identified as quote unquote biracial, but if you had a whiter looking appearance, would you have passed at that time or considered passing as when you got older?
Chantel?
I think I would have passed.
Akana?
I think as a child, there were situations that I would have chosen to pass, especially in the situation where I was living in a town full of white people. Absolutely. If I had that choice, I absolutely would have taken it. But now as an adult, I have no desire to pass.
Ladies, thank you so much. I appreciate your honesty and transparency. Thank you.
The other caller on the vote line, did you have a question for Chantel and Akana?
Yes, good evening. Can you hear?
Yes, sir.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Thank you both to the guests for taking part. This is Jay from New York. Just had one quick question. It's kind of like a two-part, but I'll make it quick. At the time when you both were a bit more confused about racism, white supremacy, did either of you take offense that President Obama himself or the media addressed him only as, never addressed him as quote unquote biracial, since you both mentioned that as you were growing up, that was a real strong sense of pride for you both?
Akana?
Yes, I actually did. During the first election, I was still in high school. I think I was a senior in high school that year. And all of my friends were non-white. And I remember specifically talking to one of my close friends. And I'm like, you can't call him a black president. He's mixed. We won. Y'all didn't win. I remember saying stuff like that. And I remember my mom kind of encouraging those thoughts, like, this is not a win for black people.
She said we won. I'm still cracking up. Was there? Chantel.
I believe I was in college sophomore year. I actually didn't take offense. Knew that they would always consider him as the first black president. So no, I never took offense to that by him, even though at that time I accepted myself biracial. I for some reason never took offense to that.
Okay, great. And quickly, the second part, and I think Akana kind of spoke to it a little bit. Did your white mothers and non-white fathers mention anything about it as well? And what was their stance about it?
My mother, like I said, she definitely encouraged acknowledging that Barack Obama also had a white mother. She definitely encouraged that way of thinking. And my dad and I don't really talk about politics, not even that year. So I'm not sure on how he felt.
Chantel?
My mom definitely talked a lot about how his mom was white. My dad did not seem to be, he saw him as black. my mom just seemed to encourage him being biracial. But my dad had a whole different opinion. He's like, he's black. So.
Well, great. Thank you. Thank you both very much. Very constructive call, Beth. Thank you.
The person who dialed in 4683, last four digits, 4683. Did you have a question for Akana and Chantel?
No, hey, I'm just listening right now. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to mute my line, but thank you.
Yes, sir. Person that dialed in 1553, last four digits, 1553.
Hey, how you doing?
Right, poorly.
Hey, you got you. All right, same here. You guys answered one question I was going to ask about racist joke, but it was going to be in context. Have you ever heard racial joke amongst your white family, side of the family? But I'm gonna move on with two other questions. My sister's in a tragic arrangement. She's dating a white guy, and I found that my family. They applauded this like this was like a big victory for her. It was, you know, it's like, wow, you got a white man. Wow. Go, girl. Your father's side of the family, did they celebrate the fact that your father's had white partners?
Akana? Uh-huh.
No, they didn't. I will say that they did seem to be a little more pleased when my father later on married a black woman.
Okay. The other guest?
My dad's family, I'm not sure if they celebrated, but I do know that his mother was pleased. I think she would have thought if he had dated a black female, things would have been different, but I think his black family seems pleased because he's definitely getting benefits from that.
Okay, and my last question. Being though that your father was dating, your father was dating white women, when it came to issues of racism, did they become apologists for the whole white community? Your black father?
No.
Can you repeat that question?
Okay, your father, being though that they were dating white women, when it came to racial issues, did they become apologists for the whole white community? Did they feel like they had to explain for white people or defend white people?
My dad, he's, I think it'd be... For my dad, no, it's interesting because he flips on it on and off depending on the situation, but majority of the time, no.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. Thanks, Jeff.
For sure. Akana, she answered she said assertively, no, her dad did not become an apologist. The person, I got confused. Roz, did you have a question for Akana and Chantel? You should be with us. Oh, and my switchboard hopped just as I was going to tap the button. Okay. And I went out of order, too. Wait a minute. The person that dialed in, 48, did we get 4863? Did you already get your question in, 4863? Oh, you said you were just listening. My switchboard moved and confused me. Roz, gotcha. Did you have a question for Chantel and Akana? You should be with us.
Yes, greetings to you, Beth, and greetings to both of the guests. It's a very good program. It's great to hear your insights on very profound. I have two questions for you. The first one is just based on your life experience because of the fact that you have a white parent and white family members. Who would you say is the most dangerous or the most treacherous? Would you say your experience has shown you white females to be that way or white males? And why?
Connie, you can go ahead.
I would say white females, absolutely. Because white females are considered a quote-unquote minority in American society, they are kind of given the benefit of the doubt. People allow themselves to become comfortable around white women because they're the beta to white men. Because the white man is the common enemy, I guess you could say. So absolutely, white women. they're pulling the strings.
Oh, thank you. Any other guests?
I would definitely agree with Akana, definitely white women, for all the same reasons that she said. They're definitely pulling the strings. They can definitely easily manipulate and fool people, especially black women.
Thank you both for that. And my second and last question is, from your experience, I've deduced that white people function as a global superorganism, and I wanted to know if you have deduced in your experience that white people essentially function the same as far as their practice of racism, white supremacy, albeit in different forms, whether some are more refined and less refined than others, but have you found that they function in that sort of global superorganism type of way from your research and your life experience? Thank you, and thank you for being on the program, and thank you guys for taking my call.
Chantel?
From my experience, I would have to say it's very subtle from what I've dealt with. I haven't really dealt with any direct statements with racism. A lot of it is subtle.
Okay. Akana?
I think I would agree with that statement that it's like a super organism. Every single white person, including children, they all have a role that they play, despite whatever differences these white people have. They always come together for the common goal, and that is white supremacy, no matter what status. Financially, physically, or mentally.
I definitely agree with the con on that.
Right on. Appreciate that. Roz, the person who dialed in. Oh, I think this might be Pammy, the interracial con game. Her name got mentioned already on the program.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Have you heard? Oh, good evening, Gus, and to your guest. And I just want to say I'm really glad and very impressed that you ladies came on, because I know that this is a very personal topic, and I think it's very instructional and helpful to those of us who are not from a union between a white and a non-white to understand better what it's like, because we've grown up with so many stereotypes of what people are who come through these tragic relationships. The question I had was, I tuned in maybe about a half an hour after your show started, and I thought I heard, I don't know if it was one of the young ladies or whether it was you, Gus, that said something about one of the white women wanted the DNA of a particular black man.
Oh, for sure. That was Crystal Tyler. She was a guest on the program two times, also in 2014. She wrote the book The Wheat Money, and she is married to a black male. Let me say it the way she says it in the book. She's married to a black male crackhead, and they are in Colorado, and she wrote this book about their marriage. They have a daughter, obviously non-white daughter. But they went to Ferguson right after Michael Brown Jr. was killed, and we're talking about their book, which is about race. Her book, The Wheat Money, is about how she came to the position that she's in as a white woman, racist, and how her black, the father of her child, who she's married to, this black male crack addict, how he ended up being a crack addict, and how all of that is white supremacy, how she's in this position of having influence and wealth and all of the other, and he's down and out, homeless crackhead. That's how they met. And she decides, yeah, I want to marry this guy. Anyway, in the course of the program, she said that she wanted his DNA. Those were her specific words. The first time around when she was on the program, she wanted his DNA. She saw him, and she talked about her own physical failures, how she didn't like her hips, her own makeup as a white woman. And she said, if I have a child with him, then the child will look better. And then she, in the program, she and in the book, she talks about the relationship with her daughter, who I think is like 10 now. But she talks about that relationship and her husband's it's a lot to process. But the DNA, yes, that is exactly what she said.
Yeah, I thought that was so significant because I think that's at the crux of a lot of this push to get black men in particular to breed with white women. You know, you see it in the movies, you see it in the commercials and all that. And I think one of the guests, we've heard this term before, I think it is a very, very, very super successful, super dedicated organization is what the white people are collectively. And if you've seen the articles about the white people are declining, the population is in a serious decline, the infertility is increasing, I think that's really an important thing for non-white people to consider, particularly the black male, when they consider dating and breeding with white people. But I just wanted to ask that question because I wasn't sure if one of the guests said it or where, you know, where it came from. Okay. Well, I'll continue listening.
For sure. Oh, since we mentioned your name, I guess it was in the first 30 minutes. I don't know if you'll recall, but this also happened in 2014. It was a momentous year. I won't say momentous, infamous, really, but that was the program where we did a broadcast where they announced that there was not going to be an indictment in the Michael Brown case. And you were on the program. Chantel was there. I was there. We were talking, and Chantel shared that while it was being announced on the news that they were not going to indict Michael Brown's killer, her white mom came in. She and her black father, they were watching the news and paying attention. This is serious. Her white mom comes in and it's just like, you know, la-di-da, great day, having fun on the plantation, and comes in, starts flirting with her dad, who is, you know, watching the news, paying attention to all this. He's really, you know, alert. And she's just like, I mean, excuse me, her mom comes in and is flirting and all that. And he's just like, what is going on? And she shared that, you know, it was like she was trying to initiate sexual activity while he's watching the news about what's happening in Ferguson. And her dad just seemed totally stunned, like, what are you doing? And this was done in her presence. And you commented live time. I don't know if you recall or not, but just do you want to give your thoughts, since you've written about this subject, the interracial con game we've discussed in detail, just that what that incident, what that moment says to you?
What that moment says to me is that white people, regardless of male or female, understand that they're victimizing their non-white partner. And I think it's very significant in how how sex is a major weapon in the domination of non-white people. I mean, it's not just a sexual domination. It's a game of power and control, and it's a psychological domination. So I think it's extremely significant if non-white people, black people in particular, really looked at the dynamic that happens in these relationships, they would understand that sex is war when it comes to white supremacy. It's absolutely war. And I really have to give kudos to the two guests, one of which person I believe I talked to at an earlier time, because to be in that situation with a white parent, to have your loyalties torn, you know, to have the confusion of this white parent, I think for you to claw your way out of it and try to get some clarity about what you're dealing with, I think that's admirable.
Hear, 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 hear. Folks can get more information on this very subject, the interracial con game, where Pam and her co-authors, they talk about this in detail, the interracial con game. You can go to racismws.com. You can get the book. You can read excerpts from the book. You can get a hard copy. You can get an e-copy. And yours truly wrote a review. It's on my blog. It's on Amazon as well. You can go to Amazon and get a copy of the book. And again, the website, racismws.com. Always grand to hear from Pam, Trojan Horse Publications. Glad you could tune in.
Me too.
For sure, for sure. We were trying to get her on the program, just failed with the scheduling, but we will try it again for next month.
Okay, great.
I think we hit all of our callers. I just wanted to make sure that I got in. I'll double back to make sure 1842, we didn't miss her other question. Just did your Did your white mothers, your racist mothers, did they impact how you thought about black people or how you even conducted yourself with black people? And if so, could you share? We'll start with Chantel.
With me, yeah, I guess growing up, because when I grew up, I didn't have a lot of black friends, so I looked at black females a little bit different than me. Obviously, they looked at me differently, so it was kind of hard for me to actually be friends with females who were darker than me. But in terms of my mom having an influence on that, I wouldn't say, but the thing with my mom, like, she really, my parents were kind of overprotective. So they kind of were picky about, like, the friends that I did have, which in turn led me not to having as many black friends, which was end up being mostly white people. So they were concerned about, like, getting in trouble and stuff. But, yeah, I would have to say my mom had some influence in that.
Wow. What's your relationship like with black people now?
I feel like now I have more respect for them than I did before. Realizing more of my classification of who I am as a black person, and that is how white people see me regardless as to what my mom says. And I'm realizing that. But now it's really, yeah, me having respect for black people and being appreciating them and being around them more and listening more, especially when they're going through situations, even situations involving racism, and actually being there for them. I don't have any white friends, so.
Awesome. Awesome. Pride of Ramapo College, president of the Dream Fan Club, Chantel. Akana, how did or did your mom, your white mother, did she impact your perception and or conduct as it relates to black people?
She never explicitly said anything, but there was absolutely more support shown for relationships with anyone who was not black, even if they were non-white. There was definitely an effort to create, she definitely put an effort towards me having like a chip on my shoulder about black women, because she did. So she definitely, she always made a point, even though her best friend was black and a lot of her friends were black, and I was very close with my dad's mother, a black woman. She definitely made statements or created stories that would play her as the victim and a black woman as a perpetrator. And also she definitely influenced a negative way of thinking about my dad and other black fathers, not necessarily black men because they were in and out of my childhood home, but definitely black fathers. There was probably a brief amount of time in my life that I did think that black women won't accept me and black men are not good enough for me. Those were the two things that she tried to instill in me. And for a moment there, it almost worked. But now as an adult, I don't have any relationship with whites outside of family members. And it's definitely less than 10 family members. I do not deal with white people between the hours of 5:30 Friday p.m. and 6 o'clock Monday p.m. I don't, period, point blank. I've taken, I believe it's Roz, I've taken his stance. I do not help white people. I do not speak to white people. If there's anything constructive that I'm doing for any community, it'll be the black community. I have very good relationships with black women and men now as an adult.
Grand to hear, black self-respect. That is spectacular. Before I check with 1842, I think Lashes on the program yesterday, she asked about the contradiction between white women where they despise black females but seek sexual attention from black males. Do you see that in your white mothers, Akana?
Absolutely. I will say that her black female friends tend to be less physically attractive than she is. I just now kind of analyzed that as you brought that up because I did listen yesterday. But yeah, I think so. I think that these white women see the black women as competition. They're in the way. A black woman is a very strong-willed, strong-minded woman, and they're definitely a formidable adversary for the white woman.
Chantel?
I definitely agree with Akana about that. Even with my mom and her white friend, not white friend, her non-white friend, she actually, my mom is more attractive than she is, and she looks up to my mom like she, you know, has this power over her. But yet, what's interesting is that this black female has a lot more money than my mom. So it could be a situation of my mom using her for means of status.
Means of status, how?
In terms of, because my mom's friend, she makes a lot more money, makes more money with both my parents that can combine, makes more money.
Wow.
And she's in a stable relationship with a, my mom actually came out and told me she did date a white guy, and it didn't go well. So now her friend met a non-white black male online, and she is married to him now and is very happy with her marriage compared to what was before. But my mom didn't go into detail as to why their marriage, the other marriage she had with the white male, didn't go well. But yeah, I see that my mom looks up to her a lot. But then I also see that her friend, her non-white friend, actually gained some type of acceptance from my mom because she is white. And I believe that's actually my mom's, that's her only white friend that she has. Everybody else is black.
Fascinating. Before I get 1842's other question in and we get ready to wrap things up, I said, just from the limited amount, I have been in communication with Chantel significant, like years longer than Akana. So I know more information about Chantel than I do Akana. But just from the limited bit of information that I do know about her, it is amazing the amount of symmetry. Like, you all have not even heard the half in terms of just how similar these two young ladies' experience is. Much of it, in my view, centered around their racist mom and the experience that they've had in their life centered around that. Anything else that you all think would be constructive just in terms of understanding racism, white supremacy, and either your mom's, the racism, white supremacy that your mom practiced, or just that would be constructive for us to understand some of the other things? Because you all have been talking for a while now. Other points where you see major patterns in your experience?
There's one thing I want to mention.
This is Chantel. Growing up, in terms of me, in terms of beauty and hair, my mom did not, understand in terms of the importance of how to take care of hair better. So what ended up happening is my mom used to perm me and my sister's hair like a lot growing up, I think started at the age of 5. So she didn't like the fact that her hair was kinky. So she would always perm it all the time. And now that I've gotten older, I stopped using perms, but now I have kinky hair that I've come to terms with what I have, which is fine, but having to grow up realizing that your mother did not like the fact, did not accept you for who you are, instead of actually having appreciation for my kinky hair, she would go ahead and try to perm it and make it straight.
The hair issue, I know that is a major one. I think that's one of the images that I used. Did that resonate with your experience as well, Akana?
Yes, absolutely. It's interesting, though, because my siblings have kinkier hair than I. And although I was referred to having the good hair because my hair is looser textured, hair was definitely an issue, but it was in an odd way because my sister and even my brother at some point in his tragic life both had relaxers, but my relaxers actually don't work on my hair at all. I've sat with relaxers on my hair for over an hour, and my hair is still curly after the fact. So I think that only added an extra layer of resentment as far as my mom is concerned. I look very similar to my father. I've always had a close bond with my father. On top of me being a young Black woman, she couldn't change me. She physically could not change that aspect of me. And I think that that bothered her.
That was Chantel's mention in terms of the pattern with the hair. Akana, any other significant patterns from the conversations you've had with Chantel where you recognize, like, wow, this is something else maybe that we haven't discussed that seems to stick out?
Absolutely. Discouraging personal interests. Discouraging certain career paths. I've noticed she and I do have that in common. Our parents, specifically our mothers, have both discouraged our initial, I guess you could say initial interest on what we wanted to do or what careers we wanted to have. Strongly discouraged that. And in a way where they would make statements, or I'll say my mom and specifically, she would make statements that would make me feel like I was less of a person because I was interested in certain things. I wanted to go to school for journalism. I have always had a passion for reading and writing. There was a point of time, but like right before I went to college, that I was a great writer. she completely killed that. She completely killed that dream. And any idea that came after that, any substitute that I could find after she discouraged me, it was never good enough for her. It was always like they would discourage you until you chose what they were trying to lead you towards. And if you didn't choose that, then they would force it upon you, whether it be career choices or friends, romantic or platonic.
Wow.
I would definitely agree with Akana on that.
Wow. Can you think of something specific, Chantel, where your white mother tried to discourage a career interest or a potential male suitor or something that was important to you, personal interest that she tried to discourage?
She would be negative. She would say stuff like me, I wanted to get into music. My dad had a different view about it. I guess he's being more realistic. But even not even just that. I think the other day I actually had a phone interview for an executive administrative assistant position for Verizon, and it was a black female. And I had mentioned to my mom, it was a black female who had called me and did the phone interview, and I actually networked with her through LinkedIn, and that's how I got the phone interview. So I told my mom about it, and I said, I'm just waiting to hear back from her. My mom's response was, oh, they're not going to call you. Yeah. Instead of just being positive and, you know, good luck, not going to call you.
Context of white supremacy. Wow. White girls do it better. 1842, did you have another question you wanted to get in before we wrap things up?
Thank you for cycling back to me. I do, just one. Well, first let me say that hopefully this is better. Very tragic that you two don't get to have a relationship with your mom. Like, even if she had been black, like, it's hard to have a strong mother-daughter bond. But it's so essential. So, like, I know that's not the focus of our conversation, but, I mean, I am, like, it's very tragic, and I'm very sorry about that. Like, that sucks. And for it to be something that may not ever really be remedied unless racism, white supremacy is replaced with a system of justice or something like that. But that leads me to my question, which is, well, since you both don't have that in your mom, were you all able to find like a surrogate black mother or like a black female family member who kind of stepped in, like even for things like hair, or is that like, or maybe you two found it in each other, I'm not sure, but like some female who's able to give you that good black nurturing. Were you all able to find that at all?
Akana?
Yes. My mom's best friend, she was a really important part of my life, and my grandmother. They were a part of my daily life, so they were able to remind me or instill certain mindsets so that I could have a similar relationship to a mother-daughter type thing. But yes, my grandmother, my dad's mom, and my mom's best friend, typically bonding with my mom's best friend, that was only allowed if my mother was not present. Any other time, my mother was jealous and manipulative and would manipulate either my time or her time to prevent any type of bonding between us.
Chantel?
For me, one of my mom's good friends she grew up with, that she went to high school with, I used to talk to her, but I don't talk to her anymore because my mom had a fallout with her. So she was really the only person that would, you know, give me advice about, like, different hair tips. And, I could always talk to her about anything that was going on that bothered me, especially with my parents, because she knows my mom very well. but they don't talk anymore. So I can't really contact her.
This black female that has, again, this is kind of rare, would be someone where I kind of know additional information. Is this the same black female friend of your mom where they had a falling out? I think your mom, she would go to this person when she was down, like this would be, oh, I'm a weeping, victimized white woman, and I'm going to run to black people so they can pump me up and help me feel better. Is this the same black female?
Yep, it is.
Wow. Wow. And the nature of the, I think the black female started to become a little bit less confused about your mom.
Yep. She used to call my mom a heifer all the time. White heifer. She used to call her that.
Wowie. Did that answer your question, 1842?
It did. Thank you.
For sure. With that, anything that we missed important? Unless, Chantel, you want to white friends? You want to get in about white friends before we wrap?
I will say one thing that me and Dakota have discussed previously. We did come to the realization that our bosses at our jobs, who are white, remind us of our mothers.
How so?
I would say in terms of how bossy and very controlling that they are, and very negative.
Bossy, controlling, and negative. And you have a white female boss, both of you?
Yep.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Bossy, controlling, and negative? That's your boss, Akana?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. The same age range as your mom? Your mom's, rather?
My mom is in her early 50s.
Okay.
My boss is in her 30s.
Oh, okay. A little bit younger. Significantly younger. Wow.
My boss is about 10 years older than my mother.
Wow. Wow. Very interesting. Does your boss know that you both have white mothers?
My boss does not know that.
I work with my mother. My boss and my mother know each other very well. They take smoke breaks. not daily, but they know each other well enough.
Wow. That is the network right there. Swapping. She probably told her like that, that ungrateful wench, I got her this job, and now she's not even going to talk. I'm sure they're having some interesting conversations out there as they get cancer together, I guess, smoking cigarettes. Wow. Wow. Amazing. Before we wrap, there was one other comment I was going to get in terms of similarity in your two experiences. I'll have to give a second to see if it comes back to me, if I remember it before we get ready to close out. We'll be here tomorrow for Workplace. Oh, that was it. How easy. How could I forget that? We'll be here tomorrow for Workplace Racism. Same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll be here on Friday. Gwen Ifill, The Breakthrough, Politics and Race in the Age of Obama, another non-white person with a white parent. And then we'll be here Saturday, I guess that's New Year's Eve, so they say. We'll be here for the compensatory call-in. Normal time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, which means we will be going off the air as it becomes 2017 on the East Coast. That'll be a hoot, I reckon. The question I was going to ask before we wrap up for Chantel and Akana, what was the first program that you heard on the context of white supremacy? I think for Akana, if I had to guess, I think it was Workplace Racism, but I could be wrong. What was the first program you heard?
That's correct, Workplace Racism.
Wow. Chantel, what was the first program?
The first program was actually the Tim Wise episode, where he was talking down to the non-white 10-year-old. That was on the show.
Justice.
That's what caught my attention. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, justice.
Quite a few folks, I think Timothy Wise, is how they heard about the context of white supremacy, but how interesting. I'm sure we could continue the dialogue, you all's experience, and as I've stated, listeners are always interested in this subject matter, so I'm sure they would love to hear more details as you all continue to chat. I guess that would be a good one to close out on, because we, I think a lot of people have said for years that it's difficult not having anyone to talk to about racism, white supremacy, even if you are fortunate enough to have two black parents and four black grandparents, you still might not be able to talk about racism with your family members. Or friends or what have you, it can be kind of difficult. And at least for me, I think that was one thing where I felt like maybe we were stumbling in the correct direction when I heard that, yes, they did think that there was a lot of symmetry between their stories and that you all had been having a lot of conversation, constructive exchange. I guess if you could both speak to what the benefit has been for you two being able to communicate about your experiences with racism.
Connie, you can go ahead.
I think being able to compare our experiences really helps with us being able to analyze them and to take away any blame that we might put on ourselves for being confused. It's a very complex situation, so it's nice to have someone to bond with in the tragedy, because we can really kind of pick apart our situation from, even though it's an outside view, we've had experience dealing with such similar things that I think it's helped us analyze each other's experience and share our thoughts.
I would agree with Akana. This definitely helped me to realize that with the same similar situations that we've gone through, it's actually helping me to be able to just get through the times right now, especially since I'm still living with my parents. And I know Akana has is in the position where she has lost contact, but chose to not communicate with her mom the way maybe she used to. And I'm trying to decide if that's something that I will be doing in the near future. But other than that, it's great to be able to talk with someone who's going through the same thing and pretty much helping you, especially helps me get through the day, especially with what I have to deal with. But it's great to know that there is someone that's going through the same thing. And we can, you know, exchange, talk with each other about any, especially workplace racism, like having exchanges about that and maybe coming up with ideas as to how to go about our day and dealing with that.
Spectacular. Glad to hear it. And other folks, you know, the people that have reached out and said they're in specific places, Texas and Toronto, Southern California, London, wherever folks happen to be when you listen to the cows. I've said that before. If you want to drop an email and meet people that are in your area to exchange views, can be constructive. I know folks have said that it's been helpful for them in just trying to deal with all this and then have someone else to verify, I'm not crazy, I'm a victim of white supremacy, I'm being mistreated, and then maybe we can even think of some counter-racist strategies to deal with all of this. That is spectacular. And workplace racism, having that mentioned, very important. I think that's certainly one of the topics that we should be just as enthused, just as excited to talk about, because it is super important and a lot of us are facing problems with that every day. So again, that'll be tomorrow. It's every Thursday, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, every Thursday. We'll be here tomorrow. Looking forward to it. It has been grand. I really appreciate both of you coming on to just kind of talk about your experiences and your views on racism. I hope it has not been a waste of your time. We have both of you are hardworking, and Akana, a mother and an attempted wife. And Chantel, I know your time is valuable as well. All of us, our time is valuable. So I hope it's been a constructive investment of your Wednesday evening, and definitely look forward to hearing your continuing and evolving thoughts, views on racism, white supremacy as you continue to increase your understanding. And just for listeners, I've stated, I think a few times Chantel has shared it on the program before, she is a twin. Her twin is not interested in counter-racism at all. Is that accurate, Chantel?
Yes, that is accurate.
It can be difficult, very, very difficult, to try to get other victims of racism, even your twin, to grasp that, yes, mommy is racist and we have a major problem that we're trying to deal with. It is just a hugely, hugely difficult problem, but we're going to do our best to try to get it taken care of. With that, thanks everyone for dialing in. I hope you all got constructive information, and we'll be here tomorrow, same time, to do it again. I will state again, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We already have enough problems. I don't think cannabis, alcohol, tobacco, any other narcotics that they come up with, I don't think any of those substances has proven that it helps us solving the problem of white people. I've never seen the example of that. I don't think being intoxicated when you get pulled over by Darren Wilson, Daniel Holdsclaw, I don't think that's going to improve your situation. I think we would do best to seriously consider sobriety as long as white supremacy exists and to be codified. And particularly this week, we've had listeners who said they've seen a lot of enforcement officials out. I know they have increased sobriety checkpoints here, and that tends to be standard operating procedure. So just keep that in mind. If you got to consume, go to one spot and stay there. That way you don't have to deal with being out and about and being stopped by a white person. Badge or no, white people are dangerous. With that, thanks again for tuning in. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Pam's blog website, again, racismws.com. Context of White Supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.